Hey, Trevor, thank you for telling me that was a cello. I thought that was the biggest fiddle I'd ever seen in my life.
You're welcome.
Once again, welcome this morning. Glad you're here. Are you good? Are y'all like the child this morning? Are y'all having a bad day? No? Is it good? Man, yeah. It's good to be in God's house with God's people. As Billy has said, and we've already mentioned a couple of times, I invite you tomorrow night to our Christmas Eve service at 5:30. We do a lot of, here's the only time I'll probably get an amen, you know, for all year is I will not preach. Amen. Okay. But there'll be a lot of singing. We'll sing lots of Christmas songs. We'll have Holy Communion together. We will also have a remembrance service tomorrow night where we have an opportunity to remember those loved ones who have gone before us. There will be an opportunity to light a candle in their memory, and that's, as Billy said, I always love that service. It's a really special service, so I hope you will come. Bring a friend. I'm still needing a couple of people to hand out bulletins and greet people tomorrow night, so if you can do that, see me after church and or send me an email letting me know that. If you are visiting with us this morning, I'm especially glad that you're here. And I just welcome you. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you that looks something like this right here. Invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to know that you were here. At the end of the service, I will be out in this end of the foyer to meet you and greet you. You can bring this blue card with you. I'll have a free gift for our visitors, and if you don't want to do that, that's okay as well, but I'd love to meet you and get to know you. So keep the registration pads flying through there if they got to you. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. We pick it up, chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask you now to speak to us, speak in power and authority. Reveal yourself to us, surprise us, Holy Spirit. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Sunday, December the 31st, 2018 AD, which means, somebody tell me what the AD means. Anno Domini, you got to say it with some, you know, you got to say it with some style, man. Which means the year of our Lord. And I've said this before, but, you know, it amazes me. Our culture, we're trying to weed out everything of God we can in our culture. Has anybody else noticed that? We're trying to take God out of everything. And even our calendaring system, we have, for over 2,000 years, we have numbered the years as with an AD, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. 2,000 years ago, plus some, an event so amazing happened that we drove a stake in the ground and we said, this changes everything. From this moment forward, everything is different. What was that? Jesus came. God became flesh. And we celebrate that with by even in our dating system, AD. Now, our current, you know, our culture has tried to change that, and I refused to do it when I was taking classes. I've told you that before, but I refused to do it. But they've changed the BC to they changed the BC to BCE, which means before the Common Era, to our secular world, BCE, and CE means, instead of AD, means Common Era. And so you see how they just kind of stripped God right out of even our dating system? And I refused to do it. I refused to do it. When I would write papers and they were expecting a date with CE or BCE, I didn't do it. It's like, I'm just not going to do it. Something so amazing. God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Something changed that moment. Love became a man. So I want to conclude my Advent sermon series today with the series is The Promised King, The Promised King. And today's message is Love Redefined. Now, I've talked about this before, and most of y'all kind of know about, the New Testament is written in Greek, and it had been translated in many different languages, but it was written originally in Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have concordances. I can look up things with the best of them. But there's four forms of the Greek word love, and I won't get into all of trying to impress you with Greek knowledge or anything. But basically, there's sexual, passionate love. There is affection between friends, a different type, different word meaning that. There is a third word for love, which is the affection between family members, especially between a parent and a child. And then there is the Greek word agape. Agape, which is, here's a loose definition of agape love. Selfless love. I want these to soak in a little bit. I want you to understand when the Greeks were speaking or when they were writing something down and they were referring to love, they had a very specific type of love that they were referring to. One of those first three that I mentioned are agape love, selfless love, costly love, love without condition. If anybody's hearing what I'm saying, shake your head like this. Love without condition, agape love. Love without regard for love returned. Uh-oh. How many of us are, our definition of love is starting to kind of crumble a little bit? Love without regard for love returned. To love based on high regard for an individual's inherent value. In other words, I used to say this to the girls when they were little. I don't know if they remember, but I used to say, I love you, Kirby. I love you, Jordan. And if they said why, I would just say, just because you're Kirby. Just because you're Jordan. That's why I love you. It's not because you've been good today. It's not because you do anything. It's because you're just Kirby. You're just Jordan. Agape love. Love based on a high regard for an individual's inherent value. So I want us to this passage that I read today. In six verses, love is mentioned 13 times. Over twice every time there's a sentence in these verses, love is mentioned. Now, this is not sexual passionate love. It's not the love between friends. It's not love between parent and child. No, it's agape love. In each case, that these 13 times in these six verses, it is either agape or it is a form of agape that is being talked about here. I think that's significant, and I want us to unpack this a little bit. Let's see what God and the Apostle John is trying to teach us about love this morning. First thing is, God defines love. He is love. Now, I've in your notes, if you want to kind of glance there, I've changed where everywhere where we say love, which is this general broad thing. We can say, I love this new restaurant. I love my new shoes. I love my friend. I love it when, you know, this happens. Those are all, we use love in so many different ways, but in each instance, in these six verses, the word is either agape or a form of the word agape. So I've actually changed it as we look down through here. God defines love. So listen to it this way. Whoever, verse 8, whoever does not agape, remember the definition of agape that we just talked about. Whoever does not agape does not know God. If we don't love without condition, if we don't love based on someone's inherent value, if we don't love without regard for whether they love us back, that's what it's saying. Whoever does not agape does not know God, because God is agape. If you're still out there, just kind of do this again. Every once in a while, it's like, at the very least, it wakes you up. Yeah, it's okay to laugh. You know, it's okay. We can have fun in church. It's okay to laugh, even if my jokes are bad. Secondly, not only does God define love, but God demonstrates His love through Jesus. He doesn't just talk a good game. God doesn't just talk a good game. I love you. He demonstrated it and continues to demonstrate it. So again, I've changed that word love so that we can get a better understanding. Verse 9 and 10. This is how God showed His agape among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is agape. Not that we agape'd God. I know that's not the real word, but that's, you know, hang with me. Not that we agape'd God, but that He agape'd us. So many times we think it's about what we're doing for God. It's not about that. It's about what He has done, is doing, and will do for us. Not that we agape'd God, but that He agape'd us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, it's a demonstrated love. It's not, He doesn't just talk a good game. Romans 5 says it this way. God demonstrated, and there it is, the same word. I looked each one of these up, and it's always the form of the word agape. God demonstrates His own agape for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this gift that Jesus, that God sent, this Jesus that we celebrate His birth this month, He demonstrates His love by sending Jesus to die for us. Now, it doesn't say that if we get our act together, if we're really, really good, it doesn't say this. No, while we were yet sinners, I mean, we are, I've used this analogy before. It's like we are just clothed in the filthy rags of sin. And on the cross, there's this exchange that happens, this exchange, our rags of sin for His robe of righteousness. And there's this exchange that happens. He doesn't wait for us to try to scrub and clean up our rags of sin. No, He says, while we were sinners, while we were clothed in these rags that we can't hide from the world, we can try to hide it from the world, but we can't hide it from God. While we were clothed in these filthy rags, that's when Jesus died for us. To make us holy, to make us righteous. True love, agape love, true love is not a feeling. And so many times we are the culture of the feeling, aren't we? Whether we feel like this or we feel like that, I feel like somebody loves me, I feel like they hate me, I feel warm and fuzzy, all these different things, these feelings. But let me tell you, feelings do this. Did you know that? Feelings come and go. Jesus, His love for us is steadfast. It's the rock. It's the foundation of everything, His love for us. It's an active love. He doesn't just define love. He doesn't just talk a good game. He demonstrated His love by sending Jesus for us while we were yet sinners. In fact, because we were sinners. I would even go further. And Carlene used it with her children this morning. For God so, and I looked it up, it's that word agape. For God so agape'd the world. I want to go back just a second. Selfless love. Costly love, love without condition, love without regard for love returned. You know, I've got some family and friends that don't yet know Jesus. And trying to figure it out. And God sent Jesus for them. Do you have any like that? You have any family and friend that just don't get it? I'd encourage you to keep praying for them. For God so agape'd the world, and I want you to put your name there. We're going to read that. I want you to insert your name there instead of world. For God so agape'd Jeff. Say it with me out loud. Your name, not mine. That's all right. Let's once we can do it. No, I'm just kidding. No. For God so agape'd Jeff. I want that to soak in a second. Remember, we're not talking about this loosey-goosey, emotional, warm and fuzzy love. We're talking about sacrificial, selfless, costly love. For God so loved, say it with me again, for God so agape'd Jeff that he gave Jesus. He gave him so that we would have eternal life. And here's something a pastor friend of mine years ago, 30 years ago, taught me this. We were talking about eternal life, and he asked me, when does eternal life start? And I will forever remember it. It starts right now. It's not someday when I die and go to heaven. It's like eternal life starts with Jesus, starts right now. When we receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior, man, we are new creations. Eternal life has begun. Thirdly, God declares his love through you. So he defines love, he demonstrates his love through Jesus, and he declares his love through you. Did you know that? That's heavy stuff. He declares his love through you. He demonstrated it through Jesus, but he declared his plan to share it with the world is us. That's pretty intense, huh? Dear, listen to verse 11 and 12 of our passage today. Dear friends, since God so agape'd us, we ought to agape one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we agape one another, God lives in us and his agape is made complete in us. You know, it's interesting, this passage, and this is rough, but here's what God is telling me through this passage is, it says, if we don't love, we don't have God. If we don't agape, I didn't say it. God's word says it. Look in verse 8. Whoever does not love, and agape, does not know God because God is love. So if we're not busy about loving with this agape love, Scripture's telling us we must not know God. He must not reside in us. Anybody else challenged by that? Besides me? But if we do that, if we do agape one another, God lives in us. And his agape is made complete in us. He's calling us. He's like, I love you with this selfless, costly love without regard for myself. You know, we live in a world where, you know, everything is, I've got the right to do that, and I've got, in Christ, the only rights belong to Jesus. When Christ lives in us, we've surrendered our rights. If we agape one another, God lives in us, and his agape is made complete in us. So, as I close today, I want to ask you, hopefully the Holy Spirit is challenging us. You know, 2,000 plus years ago, time itself changed. God became flesh. Love became man. Who is God calling you to agape today? Now, I know I've hit it two or three times. I want to hit it again. Agape, selfless love, costly love. Who would it cost? What would it cost to love that person that I know God's bringing some people to your mind right now? And it's probably not people that love you back. Love without condition. Love without regard for love returned. You know, it's easy to love people that love us. Did you know that? it's really easy to do that. I know you got some names that are, some faces that are popping up in your head, because the Holy Spirit, he does that. Agape, love without regard to love return, love based on a high regard for the individual's inherent value. You know, I'm thinking that sometimes when I have someone, you know, you're angry with or whatever, just say, God, I know you love that person. I know you died for that person. I know you agape them. Help me agape them the way you agape me. Who is God calling you to agape today? Costly love, selfless love, unconditional love, love without regard for love returned. And just if you'd bow your heads with me, I want to close it there this morning with a challenge in this prayer. Father, we confess that we don't love as well as you do. But we also know that you reside in us. We ask you, Lord, to help us love better. Help us love this agape love that you talk about so strongly in your word. Help us love like you. And those people, Father, that are hard to love, it could be, Father, that you're calling us to just humble ourselves and just say, whether we believe that we've done something wrong or not, just maybe it's just a word of saying, I'm sorry. Maybe it's writing a letter. Maybe it's forgiving someone who has wronged us. Your word says that since you agape'd us, we ought to agape one another. So show us how. You live in us. Now declare your love through us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.